segment number 3 of our 10 o'clock hour and our open home hours, when we talk about our weekly to-do. We bring you a weekly maintenance task to take care of around your home, castle, or cabin. You know, a honey-do list is a lot easier with one item a week than if you let 5, 6, 7 weeks, 7 months, 7 years go by without doing anything. That honey-do list gets really long, really quick, and then nothing can ever seem to get done right, and you're always constantly behind the eight ball trying to catch up. So if we take care of one weekly to-do around our home, castle, or cabin, we can keep it well-maintained. And a lot of times when we are being that diligent with our home, it'll be 2 or 3 weeks. You can take a week off because there's nothing to really do. And this week we're talking about your water heater. What would life be? How would your morning start if you didn't have a hot shower? I don't know about for you, but for me, I'd sooner give up my air conditioning unit than my water heater. And to talk about properly maintaining your water heater, we have Andrew Dobbins of Intelligent Design talk about maintaining what is, to me, the most appliance in our home. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to talk with you again.
From your perspective, what would you give up first, your air conditioning or your water heater?
Oh, man, I would probably give up the water heater, but I like my house 72 degrees, so I can take a cold shower.
Sometimes of the year you can, sometimes you can't. For a traditional water heater, talk about the components. Fairly simple machine.
It is fairly simple, especially if it's gas operated. I mean, you're using fire to heat up water. It's insulated, so you have a big barrel of water you're heating up, and the insulation is trying to hold that heat in, and anytime it cools down too much, it's going to crank the fire back on so that it's ready for you when you turn the faucet on.
Our modern-day tumblers, coffee thermoses, they're just like a reduced version of a water heater.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
And so for an electric one, there's a couple additional components that we have.
Yeah, so instead of fire and a flue where you have an exhaust, you're going to have a heat strip in there, which is just a heating element that's heating your water up and using electricity. We find that the gas ones are going to be a little less costly as far as your utility bill, and they tend to last a little bit longer than the all-electric ones, but they're both pretty similar.
And in both cases, filtration before water is introduced into the unit can extend the life pretty significantly.
Absolutely, yes. In Arizona, we have very, very hard water. Tucson is actually a lot harder than Phoenix. So if you're not filtering the water going in, you're going to build up mineral and calcium in that system, and it's going to happen a lot faster. That's where you start to hear the snap, crackle, pop inside your water heater, or you notice that you're running out of hot water a lot faster. It's because the barrel is filled up with all of these minerals, and you don't have as much water that can fit in.
And part of the reason the water in Tucson is harder is the distance it has to travel. Tucson is the largest water consumer of the Central Arizona Project Canal that's piped over 300 miles from the Colorado River down to Tucson. Well, they don't take it directly out of the canal. They pump it back into the groundwater and then pump it back out 10 miles away. So not only does it come from the snow-capped mountains down the Colorado River into the canal, it's then pumped back into the water, then extracted, then delivered to your home. A lot of opportunity to pick up a lot of minerals along the way.
Yes, sir. We have people come here from all over the country, especially with the snowbirds coming in, and nobody says that, hey, my water's harder where I'm at. It's always the opposite. Tucson has some of the hardest water in the nation, and water treatment for the home and especially the water heater is essential.
So let's talk about flushing the water heater and why that's important.
It's a lot of the same reason of the mineral buildup. So if you're doing that every 6 months to 1 year, you're just hooking up a hose and you're flushing the water and the excess calcium out so that the water heater lives a lot longer than it would. So if you combine the filtration before the water heater and you're draining it and flushing it out, you're going to extend the life dramatically of that water heater.
And if you haven't done this before, the first time you do it, it's not going to be that easy of a process if it's been 5, 7, 8 years. You're going to have a lot of sediment, and you may have to fill up and flush that tank a half dozen times before it starts running clear.
We actually recommend if a water heater is that old and it's never been done, don't do it, because what happens is a lot of times you open the valve and now you can't get it fully closed and you have a drip or even a leak, where you wanted to flush it, but it was just, there was just too much in there. You can't close it back up. So if you have a newer water heater, absolutely start doing it. If it's 7 or 8 years old and you want to start doing it, I'd say leave it alone and wait for replacement.
And that's a universal advice from all of our plumbers across the entire state. If you haven't done it for 5 to 7 years, and if nothing's been done, just wait till it dies, start over, and then start your new maintenance program to make sure you get the most value out of that appliance. Now, there's an important step when you're filling it back up and turning it back on. A gas one's not as critical, but an electric one, you've really got to make sure the tank is filled before you reintroduce power. And I think that's something we might have missed at the beginning, before you start even draining, whether it's gas or electric, make sure you kill your power source.
Absolutely. You don't want any electricity going to that or anything kicking on. Turn the gas valve off and or the electricity.
It's designed to have water in it while it's being heated, and if we introduce electricity to an open air chamber, the electrical elements will actually do what they call dry fry, and it's like burning out a light bulb, just pop, gone, done. Another $75 to your repair bill right there.
Yes, sir.
Do y'all have a favorite type of a heating element when we're looking at electric? I've seen one where it's two metal prongs. I've seen one where they've deviled it back to create four to add more heating element. Is there one that's any better than the other?
I'm going to bounce that question over to Marty, our plumbing expert who's on the line here. Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, so really it's coverage, you know, so the more element that's there, the more heat you're going to get. But wattage ultimately has the biggest thing to do with it. So I personally do not have a preference.
And what does a heating element cost?
A heating element, I mean, you can get a repair kit at Home Depot or something like that. I believe they're around $75. But again, it all depends on what style you get, like you were saying.
Yeah, I had thrown out $75 as a frame of reference, but I wanted to make sure I was a little more accurate on that, because that pricing isn't something that I can keep up on every single trade on across the board.
Sure. It's ever-changing, so.
Now,
and that's going to be if you buy it yourself and do it yourself. If you have a plumber come out, you're going to pay for that plumber to do the work.
Well, absolutely. And the benefit of that is then you don't have to do the work, and you know it's done right the first time if it's something that's new to you. On the
yes, sir.
The pressure relief valve, talk through the function of that and what homeowners need to be aware of, because that's a pretty important part of your water heater element, yet it's one we hope never gets used.
Sure. The pressure relief valve basically is your fail safe. It's kind of your backup if anything goes wrong with the water heater. It ejects the water out of the water heater, and hopefully your drain line does run to the outside of your home so it doesn't make a mess inside. But it basically is there to make sure that you don't have a big catastrophe with that water heater. You have a lot of gallons of water sitting there in one tank, so they try to limit the amount of damage it would do and prevent it from happening. It's also a good sign that something's going wrong and you need to have your water heater looked at.
If the thermostat on your water heater ever failed to shut off and the water continued to heat, once it gets over that boiling point, you know, the steam starts to create, and that steam lifts the spring of the pressure relief valve and exhausts all that pressure that's building up. If that wasn't before they had started making that a standard, at times when they would fail, there was video that they brought to Congress to illustrate the danger of this and the need to have this as part of regulatory standard, would show entire sides of apartment buildings just blown out from one water heater failing.
Wow.
So
I can imagine all that water exploding. Pretty dangerous.
Pretty dangerous. So that pressure relief valve is standard, and like Marty said, it should be piped with copper. You don't want to do that with plastic, but with copper to the exterior of your home, pointed down, so if it ever does go off, you know, that hot water is being discharged to a safe location where it's not at risk of hitting anyone else. Is there anything y'all do when you're doing water maintenance to verify that it's still working or it hasn't been shut, or just leave it completely alone?
Each time we flush our water heaters, we check the temperature and pressure relief valve to make sure it's operable. I mean, we want to make sure when we're maintaining it that everything's working. So we make sure and you know, flip the switch, make sure it ejects the water, and then make sure it's also holding once we close it.
And this has all been as it relates to the traditional tank style water heaters, where you have a tank, you heat the water, it sits there hot until you use it, and these heating elements continually turn on to keep it set to whatever temperature you have, 120, 128, whatever the case. Let's talk about tankless water heaters. I don't think they're quite standard on new homes yet, but I think we're going to start seeing at least the infrastructure for them being standard. And in a 20, 25-year timeline, there isn't going to be a new house built that's not going to be a tankless water heater.
So the major difference is the tanked water heater. You're heating it up all the time, whether you need it or not. You have the big barrel of water. As soon as it cools down, you're heating it again, and it's a waste of energy. The tankless water heater turns on as soon as you turn on the hot water faucet anywhere in the home. You will never run out of hot water. If you've got a huge garden tub and you run out halfway through filling it up, that will never happen with a tankless. If you have a large family and one of your daughters tends to use up all the shower water, that's never going to happen. You will never run out of hot water. So it's more efficient, and it's a convenience. Now, a lot of people believe that they're going to solve the problem of getting water faster to the far end of the home with a tankless, and you're not. It's still going to take the time to go through the pipes to get to whatever the farthest faucet is. So it's not going to increase the speed, but it increases the efficiency, and you never run out of hot water.
That's the key. You're never going to run out of hot water. Now, when they originally came out, there was some pressure issues, and where you would see you couldn't get a solid flow if you were washing dishes and taking a shower. You know, is that's something that they've really helped engineer into the enhancements of the newer models?
Well, and a lot of that problem was installation error. What we found, especially in the gas models, we don't recommend the tankless water heaters that are all electric because we're seeing a lot of failure rate with them. But for the gas ones, they're fantastic. What we were seeing that was causing issues is they were undersizing the gas line. There wasn't enough pressure to heat up the water. And so with proper installation, we never see that issue. And so we do hear from customers who may have gotten theirs done by another company, and then we can resolve that issue by coming in and enlarging the gas line, fixing it for them.
So there's your weekly to-do, maintaining your water heater. If you've got a traditional tank water heater, get it flushed out. If you're already on a tankless, you really don't have anything to do. So if you're at the point your water heater is near the end of its life and you're looking for a new one or like to investigate a tank water heater, Andrew, how does somebody get a hold of Intelligent Design?
Absolutely. So we're doing a special. We're going to do a water heater flush and plumbing inspection for $29. And you can find us all over Tucson, Southern Arizona at 520-333-2665 and on our website, idesignac.com.
Andrew, Marty, thanks for your time and helping being every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.